This is Weekend Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for tuning in today. My guest is someone in the WMUK family. Darcy Wilkin is a co-host of Grassroots on WMUK and well-known for her role as one of the Corn-Fed Girls, a band that has been around for a couple of decades. She's been working on a brand new solo recording. It's all finished and will be available at her CD release party in February at Bell's Brewery. Darcy Wilkin joined me in the studio for a preview. Darcy, I have the feeling this has been a long time coming, and I'm very excited to talk to you about this solo album, Bristol. Thanks for coming to WMUK.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, so let's hear the story of why you decided to make this album.
Well, as you said, I've been in the band, the Corn-Fed Girls, for 22 years now. And we all still like each other and everything, which is pretty cool because that doesn't always work out like that when you're in a band that long. But we love each other. We love playing together, and I still want to do that forever. But I also have a bunch of other songs I've been working on over the years, and I kind of wanted to put more of my solo material out there, and I've been performing more solo, and it just felt like time to do my own thing a little bit.
Who did you ask to play on this album?
My pop, as we've mentioned before, Mark Sagra, and I call him Pop because he's my dad. He plays guitar and fretless banjo on it. From Kalamazoo, we've got Jordan Hamilton, Corey Summers. There's a couple guys from North Carolina, John Shane and Mark Hartman. Joe Newberry plays on it. Rick Slakta plays bass, and Drew Howard plays pedal steel and guitar, and I'm trying to think of who else is on there. Some ladies are singing, Sarah First, Lily Werbin, and Grace Gein, who's another Kalamazoo treasure. So yeah, I got a whole bunch of wonderful folks who came in and did me a bunch of big favors. It was very nice.
Something special to me about this record is just down the hall here at WMUK, we have a beautiful recording studio that doesn't get used often enough, but this is a product of the WMUK studio.
It's a great studio, and Martin Clem, an engineer here at WMUK, also engineered the record, and he's got, as they say, he's got great ears, and he does. He's and great ideas. So between Martin and then Joe Newberry, my pal from North Carolina who plays on it, but Joe produced it and is pretty much the reason it sounds the way it does, which I'm very, very lucky to have him.
So you had a producer on this album.
Yes.
You didn't have to try to make every single decision yourself.
No, and I don't think I ever want to not have a producer again. It's, I feel like I have lots of good ideas too, but it's so helpful to have another set of ears there to go, well, how about this idea? Or how about this? Or you don't have to do that, you know, 70 times. You did it a few times and it's great. And now it's time to move on. It's a big one for me to have someone to say, time to move on. And Joe's really, really good at that.
How long is the list of songs that you've written over the years? And what was the process in picking which ones should be recorded?
I'd love to say that I have hundreds from which to choose. That is not the case. Sometimes songwriting for me comes really quickly, and then sometimes it's like pulling teeth. This has 7 original tunes and 4 cover songs. I certainly have another, I don't know, 20 or 30 that I could have picked from, but these are the ones that I like the best and also that all seem to go together for me.
I know from talking to you before that one of your favorite songwriters is John Prine.
Oh my goodness, yes.
He's not represented on this album.
He's not.
But there are some other songwriters who you clearly admire that you wanted to include.
Yeah, John Prine is the big one. I was raised listening to John Prine. Someday I'd love to put a John Prine song on a record. I don't know if I'm quite ready to tackle it yet. But Tommy Thompson of the Red Clay Ramblers, my favorite band of all time, and the Red Clay Ramblers are probably the most influential band on me outside of maybe my dad's band Sweetcorn, to be honest. Tommy Thompson wrote a song called I've Got Plans that's on the record. Dick Siegel, who's a wonderful writer out of Ann Arbor, he wrote a song that's I've known forever. It's called Carry Me Away, and we do a version of that that's very different from his, but I love it. And Paul Williams, who wrote Paul Williams, most people know Rainy Days and Mondays Always Get Me Down, that Paul Williams.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm familiar with him is because he wrote lots of songs for the Muppets, and I love the Muppets. And the song that is on the album that's Paul Williams. It's called When the River Meets the Sea, and it's from Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, which is my favorite Muppet creation of all time. I actually named my son Emmett after Emmett Otter. This is the first song I ever sang to him, actually, my little tiny baby boy. So it opens up the album, and then there's a traditional song called The Cuckoo that's on there too. But yeah, Paul Williams is my guy.
Let's give it a listen. Here's When the River Meets the Sea from Darcy Wilkins' new album, Bristol.
When the mountain touches the valley, all the clouds are taught to fly. As our souls we leave this land most peacefully.
That's When the River Meets the Sea from the new album by Darcy Wilkin. The album is called Bristol, and you can find news about the album on your website, Darcy.
Yes, my website is darcytunes.com.
So this song by Paul H. Williams, you said, is one that comes from Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Yes.
A Muppets classic.
A very formative special for me, yes.
I will say that here we have a song of faith and hope and the afterlife a little bit.
A little bit. It's a little church-like, as close as
yeah.
I get. Yeah.
Yeah.
When we were doing the album, Joe Newberry said, I think that should be the first one. It's kind of like an altar call to the album, which I like the sound of that because it kind of swells up and feels like old-time church to me, which I like.
I like the sound of the piano.
Isn't that beautiful?
I didn't
yeah.
expect it. I thought, since you've always played with, you know, guitar and strings, where'd the piano come from?
The piano was also Joe Newberry's idea, which, again, is why having a producer, especially that producer, is a really good idea. Joe, if you don't know Joe Newberry's music, he's an amazing writer in his own right. He's a really, really good writer, but an amazing banjo player. But he's just got these great ideas for other people's records, too. And we kind of wanted someone who sounded like Mike Craver, who was a Red Clay Rambler. Mm-hmm. And Mike wasn't available to do it. And Joe said, well, I've got a guy. And so he's down in North Carolina. His name is Mark Hartman. He was the music director for Avenue Q on Broadway for a bunch of years. And Joe said, hey, I'll just call it Mark. And he went ahead and did it. And it's great.
That's yeah. some good credentials.
I love it. Yeah, it's not bad to know guys who know guys. It's
yeah.
pretty cool.
Well, I really think it adds a great sound and texture to the music.
Me too.
And of course, it doesn't necessarily set the tone, because from there you go to I've Got Plans with and like this country swing sound.
Yeah. That's my dad playing guitar on that one, Mark Sahlgren, playing the kind of swingy. He's great at swingy stuff.
Tommy Thompson wrote
yes.
that song, who's a member until 1994 of the Red Clay Ramblers.
Yep, Tommy passed away a bunch of years ago now, but man, I don't throw around the word genius a lot, but that guy, musical genius, would fit that guy. Just and the volume of wonderful music he put out with the Red Clay Ramblers was amazing.
I've been staying out too late. Well, the morning's late for me. Daylight never brings much company. And with the ladies of the night, I play a game of chairs, losing quarters to the jukebox, buying songs to watch them dance. I grow up, I'm gonna settle down. There's a rail yard down in Bristol. It's covered all in vines. It's been forgotten by you. somewhere, but now the tracks just run and hide. Are we there yet? Can't you hurry? I've made my bed and I'm fraught with worry. Are we there yet? Can't you set me out to see?
Let's openly talk about thoughts of death, thoughts of loss, some regret. I think about death quite a lot just to myself.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't really have anyone I talk to about it, because death is something we tiptoe around generally.
Yes, for sure. I probably think about it more than people might guess. Although if you hear this record, maybe they wouldn't be so surprised. But there's some of that in there for sure. I don't know why it's something we tiptoe around so much.
I don't know why either, except that the thought of our own lack of existence is...
It's unsettling.
It's unsettling.
I discovered recently that I don't feel like I'm so afraid of my own death. It's those of everyone that I know and love, which is scarier to me because there's so many more of those people than there are of me. But yeah, it definitely pops up on the album a little bit.
Well, yeah, I bring it up because a lot of the songs you wrote tell stories, and I don't know who you're talking about, but I'm worried for them in some cases.
Yeah.
This is the first song where this comes to the foreground. It's the title song, Bristol. You're talking to someone here.
Yeah, it's a specific someone for sure. I can talk about him if you'd like. That guy's name was Mike Huff. I don't know. Some people around Kalamazoo, a lot of people will remember this guy, Mike Huff. Back when we had Boogie Records in Kalamazoo, he worked there. And Mike was a banjo player and just this wonderful, strange, hilarious man who left us way, way too soon. So when I started to write this song, which was a bunch of years ago now, that's who I had in mind for that song. And Joe kind of thought that that would make a good title for the album. I actually put that, how do I explain this quickly? The town of Bristol is in that song, and Joe Newberry asked me, why did you choose that name of that city? And I said, I just like the way it sounded. And Joe said, you don't know about Bristol? I said, no, what are you talking about? And he was referring to Bristol, Tennessee, where the Carter family recorded their very first recordings, and it was kind of, they call it the Big Bang of country music. And somehow, I had grown up in my musical family, not knowing about Bristol, Tennessee specifically. And I had an alternative title for the album. And Joe said, I think this is it. I think it's called Bristol. And the stars sort of aligned, like, why did I choose this name of this city? I really did just like the way it sounded. But when we discovered, okay, I sing Carter family songs every day. There's never a day that goes by that I don't walk around singing something by them. So the fact that I kind of plucked that out of the air for this song about Mike Huff, who, that guy snatched all the Carter family records that came into Boogie Records before anyone had a chance to get them. He had a great collection at home because he got all the used records on their way in. So it just kind of fit that, yeah, I think that's the title track for the record. So yeah, Mike Huff, really wonderful, kind of impish fella that just left too soon.
You used to take me somewhere, but now the tracks just run and hide. Are we there yet? Can't you hurry? I've made my bed and I'm fraught with worry. Are we there yet? Can't you set me out to see?
The title song of Darcy Wilkins' new album called Bristol. I'm with Darcy Wilkin here today, and we're going over some of this material. Some of it tributes to songwriters you've appreciated over the years, and some songs that just needed to be recorded that you've written yourself.
Yeah.
I don't mean to harp on it, but this theme of loss comes up here, and we just heard the beautiful setting of how you, I'm fraught with worry. Are we there yet? Can't you set me out to sea? Looking for that release.
Yeah, it's not the most up-sounding, but there's a little bit of hope there, right? Set me out to sea. Let me go. Kind of a thought there, I guess.
This is followed by Beyond All Repair, which reminds me of a sort of a drunken waltz. I mean, there's an accordion in here.
Yeah.
I love that.
The accordion, that's Mark Hartman again. And that was another, I love the way that song turned out. There's some imagery in that song that has to do with carnival circus type stuff. And I had an idea that I wanted sort of roller coaster sounds in the background, and that didn't quite work out. And then Joe had some accordion ideas in mind, and when I got those tracks back, because that was recorded in North Carolina while I was here, I was so very excited about it. So Jordan Hamilton plays cello, and just the way they play off of each other is great, but that accordion just kind of, it does make things sound real wobbly.
Oh, who is this person we have here contending with life and survival?
Oh, that's probably me. Sometimes I find it easier to say she, because it's a little, you know.
Well, yeah, that's how the songs really should be, so that anyone could see themselves.
Yeah, yeah. That's my hope. And like with the song about Mike Huff, I would hope that people can see anyone that they've lost in that song. Beyond All Repair is definitely, that's about me and just struggles that we've all gone through. I've lived long enough now that I know everybody has them. And if it's relatable, all the better. And my, you know, I guess the message there is no, she's not broken beyond all repair. You know, that's, we can all come back around, which is what I hope the message is there.
Gets closer. It's time to decide. You don't have to know where. Just head for the door. Not a moment to spare. Is she broken? Beyond all repair. Has she been broken? Beyond all repair.
From the album Bristol, that's Beyond All Repair, which is a new song from Darcy Wilkin, who's here in the studio previewing Bristol with me. You can find her music online at darcytunes.com.
Yeah, it'll be on iTunes and all that other stuff. But yes, if you want to actually have a physical copy of that stuff, you can find it there.
And if you're flipping through your calendar right now, flip to February.
February 8th at Bell's. Yes, there'll be a really fun show that I'm really excited about. Big release show.
This next song stood out to me as a terrific, well-proportioned song. It's got all those elements. You chose a song by Dick Siegel, who is a Michigan artist, who I think of as more of a swing band kind of, or somehow more of a up-tempo guy.
He can be. He gets kind of jazzy, and he can be, but he writes some of the most beautiful melancholy stuff I've ever heard as well. He's really good at both of them, which I think is, writing-wise, melancholy is my sweet spot for writing. I kind of have to do some cover tunes to get upbeat. I'm still working on how to remedy that. But Dick Siegel, he put an album out called Snap. I think it was back in 1980. I think I have that year right. There's a song on there called Angelo's, which is about a restaurant in Ann Arbor called Angelo's. It's a great tune. But this song is also on it, and that song's kind of haunted me my whole life. It just captures that feeling of heartache in a way that other songs don't for me.
This is a song with a lot of regret.
Yeah, I think it's just, I don't know, it's a heart wrencher. It punches me right in my feelings, that one, for sure. And I've played it in front of Dick Siegel. It scared the heck out of me to play it in front of him. I've done that on guitar, but I did give him a copy of this, and he likes the version that we did, which made me really really happy, because that's a kind of a nerve-wracking thing. Paul Williams might never hear this version of it would be great if he hears my version of the Emmett Otter song. But Dick Siegel, I run into that guy, and I wanted him, I was really hoping he liked it, and he did. It's very different from his version. I encourage everyone to go check out all of his stuff, but that record, Snap, is wonderful. But this, when we did it, I start out singing by myself, and it's just me and piano. Mark Hartman again. And again, that was all Joe Newberry going, I think this is maybe all we need on this one. It turned out great. I love it.
It sure did. Carry Me Away from the new album by Darcy Wilkin called Bristol.
Phrases that were dead, other words unsaid, so much it seemed left better where it lay. Now all I've got of you is this I can't undo, and how you could carry me away.
Also in the mix is a fretless banjo sound. You sing the cuckoo, which we talked about before, probably years ago now. And I think I remember you telling me it is a really old tune.
It's a really old tune, and that's a really old banjo. The banjo dates back to 1860, I believe, or that, somewhere around there. It's my dad's banjo, and it's one of the oldest. It sounds like it's that old. That the tone that comes through on that banjo, it's very spooky sounding. And the cuckoo, I don't know how far back that dates. I know it falls under traditional, which means a long, long time ago.
Well, the cuckoo, she's a pretty bird, and she warbles as she flies. She never hollers cuckoo till the fourth day of July. I've played cards in England. I have played cards in Spain. I'll bet you your $5. I will beat you next game.
There are a bunch of different versions out there. So when we pick a tune that's like that old, there's so many verses. You pick which ones you like the most and arrange it. And that's my dad and I arranged that together. I like how it turned out. We've been playing it for years at festivals together, and it's super fun. Plus, I get to play music with my dad, which is the best.
Darcy Wilkin is here, and of course she hosts Grassroots with Mark Sahlgren every Sunday at 10 a.m., and you can hear the program the next Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Well, here's a good time for me to ask what comes first, the melody or the words, because I think in Restless Mind, this could be read as a poem. There's beautiful details and images here that stand alone without a melody so well.
Yeah, that one, the music for that one came first, which doesn't usually happen for me. It usually happens at the same time. A melody and a phrase kind of drops into my mind together, and I write it down or I record it on my phone while I'm driving along. And for this one, I was just sitting around finger picking, and the little lick that you hear, I guess that's the word for it, but the little melody that comes in several times through it came first. And that was that song didn't take very long. It kind of came out really quickly, and it's, relatively painful song. That one's about me too, for sure. Aren't they all, when you're a songwriter, a little bit? I don't know. But again, I think the words on that one could stand alone, but I like how it all works together.
She tries all night to ease her restless mind, but she can't outrun all the hurt she's left behind. And how much pain must she be in her shoulders shaking as she goes. And how can she begin to mend the bonds that she's been breaking? The devil only knows. We all know how this turns out.
That's the one I wanted to hear. This is called Restless Mind by Darcy Wilkin, and it's on her new album, Bristol, bringing together herself and players near and far, some of them from Corn-Fed Girls and Red Sea.
Red Sea Pedestrians. Yes, we should mention those folks, too, because talk about influential in my life, growing up and playing in the Corn-Fed Girls and all the great weird stuff that that band does with the Red Sea Pedestrians is one of the joys of my adulthood, for sure.
As we just heard, that's just you and your guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the last one we recorded. I had to come back for that one. That was at the end of a long week. I went, I'm going to come back and do that one. Because it was emotional to record, for sure.
It's a confessional song, and you seem to have come to a place where you can share a lot of things, especially through music.
Yeah, that, I mean, I'm not secretive about a whole lot of things, so I can certainly say, yeah, that one is about some habits, you know, that maybe weren't doing me or anyone around me a lot of good. And again, I guess the words aren't so hopeful, but I'm hoping that, I don't know what I hope anybody gets out of anything that I do, you know, but if it's relatable, that makes me happy.
It describes that place where you feel trapped in, you know, the consequences of your actions, and you don't know if you deserve to get out of it.
Yeah, I certainly there were times where I felt like I was disappointing a lot of people and myself most of all probably, and the idea that the idea that you can change those things, and I have, and I'm working on it, of course, but I don't know anybody who isn't or doesn't need to, you know.
This album will be celebrated in a CD release concert and event on February 8th, and you can find out more at darcytunes.com. In Waiting for the Wildflowers, this reminds me a little bit of Tom Waits.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going to take that and run with it.
It starts off with, "Blackbirds took off like a swarm of bees. Caleb got hold of a skeleton key."
Yes.
What does that mean?
That song came from, it started with my friend Ira Cohen, who used to be in the Corn-Fed Girls, and Ira wrote this wonderful song about the Donner Party, experience. Really,
a fan of history.
Yeah, Ira is a huge fan of history, and he writes just some of the most beautiful songs. And this song about the diner party, the Corn Fed Girls did it for just a little while, just this beautiful tune. And he had an idea for a concept album, and it was going to be all about, the songs were all going to be antebellum era situations. So I started doing some research on, and I had that line, blackbirds took off like a swarm of bees. That was just I was riding in the car and saw some blackbirds take off of a wire, and I wrote it down. And I started doing some research into antebellum era insane asylums, and there is a lot out there. And I'm the kind of person that can lose a couple of days. You start on Wikipedia and then you go to the next site, and I lost several days learning about asylums of that era, and you can find rosters of patients and just read a whole lot. And there's a line in there, Blind Tom's Sister, and that was actually, I found that in a roster. Someone was actually listed, not as her name, but as Blind Tom's Sister. I just thought, well, that's got to go in a song for sure. So this is the song that came out of that. The concept album has yet to materialize. If Ira ever wants to do it, I'm in.
Jacob ran naked through the ward last night. The cuts and bruises, a terrible sight. And I can't get no rest. Three more came on to the ward today. Tomorrow they might have to take them away. Cause there's a fire burning in my breast.
I'm with Darcy Wilkin, and we're talking about her new album, Bristol, which came together over the last, I'd say, a couple of years. And one thing I'm proud to note is that a lot of it was recorded right here in the WMUK recording studio with Martin Clem Engineering.
It's a beautiful studio. I loved being here.
We've just arrived at song number 10, and it's one of my favorites, called Hard Circus. Mm. News it comes and news it goes, but it's still all the same, the hard circus that remains when we're alone.
Oh, another upper.
Well, except then you know, this one has a kind of a hopeful message.
I am glad that you think so, because this was my attempt at a hopeful song. I set out to write a hopeful song, and this is what came out. And I jokingly, when I play, say, this is my attempt at a hopeful song. I'm sorry, but really, if you really read it, I think it is a hopeful message there.
It truly is. The time can be a healer. And you say, I've loved so many people and put it on display. Sometimes they stay and sometimes they go. The ones that hung around with me have learned to persevere. Same here.
Yeah.
And the friends I've kept can hear me through the glow, is that the right?
That's what it says, yeah. I've always kind of, the word glow, it took me a long time to get comfortable with that. I wasn't sure if I liked it, because hearing someone through something that you see is a little strange. But I also tend toward the whimsical. It might not sound like it when you listen to my music, but because it's so serious in my head sometimes around me, I tend to, I don't know, surround myself with things that are a little bit more whimsical. So that's kind of where that glow part comes from.
I don't know if I should talk about your awesome hair styles. And sometimes
right now it's kind of boring. Right now it's just kind of blondish.
But you've got a lot of whimsy to share with people, I'd say.
Sometimes if it's, and it's not that I'm serious all the time by any means, but my writing tends to be, and you know, sometimes you gotta have purple hair to balance out the melancholy that's in your head.
I have loved so many people and put it on display. Sometimes they stay, sometimes they go. But the ones who hang around with me have learned to persevere. The friends I've kept can hear me through the glow. Time can be a healer, an invisible drug dealer, this I know. It takes your hurt and turns it, and eventually it burns it into coal. cold.
Hard Circus is the second to last song on the album. And the final song, I was wondering if it was one of those songs you thought, is it done yet or is it good now?
Like, when is the song finished and when do you know?
Yeah.
Actually, that might be the song I started writing the longest ago, if that's correct to say it that way. And then I changed it right at the end. So I've had that song for a very long time, and I've played it out solo for a whole bunch of years. And when it came time to record it, I sent Joe Newberry a bunch of tunes, and we talked about, well, this fits and maybe this doesn't. And this one, I almost threw it in kind of as an afterthought. Like, this is a song I wrote, I'll send it to him. And he really liked it. I didn't like some of the lyrics at the end. And so it's a cheating song, basically. Sort of the aftermath of how two people deal with that. And it's sort of the following morning, and she needs to head out the door. And I didn't like the lyrics I had. And right at the end, I have to think now what it says. Something about grabbing her keys, like gathering her things and grabbing her keys as she heads out the door. And that, as she prepares to get gone. Mm-hmm. That happened a couple of days before we recorded it, and I'm so glad it did, because I can't even remember I'd have to look up what it was before. So to answer your question, it was done for years, and then right at the end there I went, I don't know how that happened, but I'm glad it turned out that way.
The darkness offers some relief, and smoke hangs in the air. Checks the jukebox on the wall and finds him standing there. Imagine seeing you in here, he says with half a smile. You ought to take a ride with me. Been a little while. She knows that he wants her to stay. She feels the slow ache of her will calibrating. She sighs and she says, okay, but just for a while.
You leave it right there where she's heading out and she's stuck with those feelings.
Yeah.
And you didn't write the third verse where she's like, well, now I'm a newly empowered person who will never make that mistake again.
I sure didn't. I'm guessing she makes that mistake again. Or maybe she doesn't. I don't know. I suppose that's for people to figure out. Kind of like before when we were talking about death, and becoming comfortable with those kinds of things. I suppose I'm halfway through my life. I'm 45 years old, so I'm hoping I have another 45 years. So I'm definitely still learning and finding out, mostly that the more I know, I realize I don't know anything. But I do know that things like that keep happening, and things that can be tragic but you can learn from them keep on happening. So I'm trying to get comfortable with all of those things, be it death or uncomfortable situations like that. So I guess it's a funny one to end the album on, right?
Here's a question I should have asked at the beginning.
Okay.
Is this your first solo album?
This is my first solo album.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yeah, the Cornfed Girls have put out two, and we have a third one in the works, but this is my first solo album.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
A wonderful collection of very real songs that some of them really get to me, and I hope that listeners will have that reaction as well.
Thank you so much, Kara.
I guess the last question would be what might be next? You mentioned Corn Fed, but you probably still have another few dozen of your own songs.
I do, and I'm still writing, and I'm finding, like so many things, the more I do it, the quicker it comes and the better it comes. That whole you need to practice thing. Taken me this long to go, oh, yeah, I guess everybody was right. I do. And the more I write, the better it's getting. I would like to put out another album. I would guess it'll happen in a couple of years. I'd like to take this one, tour on it a little bit if possible, play, you know, get out of town and play some festivals and listening rooms and concerts and stuff like that. So that's what I'm excited about.
Do you ever feel that your immersion and, you know, where you're sitting as a host of a music show helps or gets in the way of your own creativity?
That's a really interesting question. I think that listening to good music can probably only help me make good music. I'm guessing that that's how it works. I hope that's how it works because I'm not going to stop listening to good music. There are times where when I'm working on something, I need to not listen to other stuff because those melodies might sort of push out what I'm working on. So there are times when I have to block out other music. But I absolutely love, I don't know, sometimes people ask what kind of music I like or what kind of music Grassroots plays, and obviously we trend toward the acoustic stuff and Americana and all of that, but good stuff.
That's
what I really want. I like good stuff that's written really well, and I think words are really important. So in that way, I think it's helpful.
Well, let's leave it there for today. Darcy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This is delightful.
But his life will find a purpose, and in time